From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am Pat Rulo, and today I have a returning author to share with you and a recent Firebird Book Award winner for her book titled Walking Through the Valley, Grief and Hope in God's Presence. She is Donna M. Young. She is a pastor, a pastor's wife, a mom, a grandma, a great-grandma, a reader, and an internationally award-winning author. But to me, she has become a special friend and a gift. Welcome back, Donna.
It's good to talk to you, Pat. Forgive me if I sound a little weird today. My bronchitis is acting up a little, so keep me in your prayers.
You are always in my prayers, my friend. Thank you for taking the time then to join us today. And again, congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Thank you. Thank you. I always look forward to being able to talk to you above anything else, you know, when I win an award. But thank you also for the reward of an award.
You're welcome. I'm happy you joined us. So this book is very fitting at this moment in my life, Walking Through the Valley, Grief and Hope in God's Presence. And I know that the writing of this book, based on your preface of the book, was a way for you to process all of the losses you have personally experienced, starting with that fire of a neighbor down the street. So maybe just briefly, just to set the stage, share a little about yourself and what inspired you to write this specific book, because you've written many. Why did you decide to write Walking Through the Valley?
Oh, I think I've been delving a little more into nonfiction lately. I have so many people who ask me to do that. A book series for Christian study that I did for a couple of churches. And then this book, Walking Through the Valley. What inspired this was going through with the whole town, the process of losing some really wonderful neighbors and friends. A house had burnt down up the street from me, and Dee and her husband were killed, and their grandson all in the house that night. It just was awful, and the whole town was grieving. But I felt like I was grieving way past the point of normal. We knew each other and would run into each other in town or at school events and that sort of thing, but we weren't dear friends or anything, you know? And the fact that it was hitting me so hard made me stop and think that we all process grief in different ways, and some of us never take the time to process it at all. And there are so many ways that we lose things that we should be able to grieve over, and we don't take the time to do that. I thought in my life I've lost people, but I've also lost body parts and jobs and dreams, all sorts of things, you know. And I thought, I am just not one of those people who sits down and takes the time to do what I ought to do and grieve when I need to. I'm always busy taking care of somebody else and trying to help them get through any grief they might be having. So I thought, no, I'm going to face this head on and try to get to the bottom of why this is hitting me so hard. And so that's what I did. I started looking up scriptures dealing with grief and dealing with God's perspective on grief. And right. I came to the conclusion that grief is a natural thing, and God gave us the ability to cry by giving us tear ducts. So in order to help our hearts feel a little better, sometimes it's good to rinse out those tear ducts with tears.
Oh. Sometimes a blessing isn't a curse to me. I mentioned to you prior to us getting on the air that my husband has passed away about 3 weeks ago. And so that spontaneous crying when you least expect it, or when you're out in public, you wish it was something you could kind of have a little faucet handle where you could turn it on and off. But that's a good thing to keep in mind, that it is your body's way, I guess, of processing some of the grief. And if you don't face it head on, you do look forward to future consequences of having not dealt with it up front. I think that's an interesting thought as well.
Yes, I agree with you. It's, if you don't deal with your grief, it comes back and attacks you mm-hmm. at times when you least expected it. I can be in a store and they're starting to put up Christmas decorations, mm-hmm. which I think is ridiculous anyway. But my sisters and I used to be so Christmassy all together, mm-hmm. and all of my sisters are gone now. Mm-hmm. And so now whenever I see Christmas decorations, I can be standing in the middle of a store and burst into tears, yeah. you know?
Yep. It's those triggers, and you're not even aware of them, at least the first time around, until they hit you. So, I just feel like I just need to be fully immersed in all of this in order for me to get out of it at some point in time. So this conversation with you today is extremely helpful to me, as I hope it is for all of those who are listening. I want to talk about, you mentioned God's presence. How do you see God's presence showing up in the darkest seasons of loss?
I see that God can always see us through. You know, the book in the Bible, Lamentations, mm-hmm. is especially helpful, but God uses the Holy Spirit in us to help us process grief. And I know that probably more than anything, my son, and then probably second, my sister Robin, we were so close. And knowing where she is, knowing that I'll see her again, helps. But what do you do while you're here? I have found that, and in that book, Walking Through the Valley, if you go through and read only the scriptures, I think you see in the Word of God how God is reaching out and touching our hearts mm-hmm. to try to make us be able to handle that a little bit more. Do you hear the puppy in the background?
I heard that, yes. Oh, well, we've got a guest.
Yes.
You mentioned the word lament, and I was thinking about that. That's one of your chapter titles, mm-hmm. The Healing Power of Lament. And that word isn't something that we use often today. Maybe explain what biblical lament means and why it's so important in the grieving process.
So biblical lament is being able to pray in such a way that you're expressing your sorrow, your pain, your regret, talking to God. I think if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the grieving process is much harder than it is when you know God. Not that we don't miss the people that we've lost just as much as anybody else does, but we have the assurance that we're going to see them again. So what we're grieving is being in a position where we're not going to see them every day anymore. What you and I were talking about before we started recording was that for 30 years you woke up every day with Bob, and now he's not there. And that is a terrible, awful, painful thing. So God gave us tears, and he also gave us a voice in prayer, so that we could chiefly use that as a way to communicate with him. It's okay to be mad. It's even okay to be mad at God. He understands. He's a big boy, and he doesn't get upset with us when we're mad. But we need to understand that even in the midst of that grief, in the midst of lament, there's hope. We have hope that the rest of the world doesn't have. And in being able to express the sorrow, the pain, the confusion, that we're feeling from that grief, God gives us in his presence that way to talk to him and pray with him. You know, we're living in a broken world and we are all broken. We're just needy people. And when you're experiencing sadness, sickness, agony, every day we see horrible things happening on the news, you know, school shootings and wars in foreign countries. That can hurt. Those wounds hurt. You know, we ache for the people that we work with, for family members and that sort of thing. But oftentimes we don't express the grief in our own hearts. And lament can actually help shape us. It's a God-approved way of kind of grumbling, you know? We bring our complaints to God, and then even though we've been complaining, we have the opportunity to leave that meeting with God with great hope in our hearts, because we recognize God's wisdom, the finiteness of him. Sorrow can be so disorienting. I don't think no one emerges from a season of grief feeling capable and wise, you know? But we're looking to God in our pain, and he's reminding us of our limits and the power that we can have through him. Mm-hmm. I think lament, that prayer, being able to grumble to God, being able to complain to God, is a direct expression of our trust in God. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I think a lot of people are afraid to grumble to God, because is that going to mean that he thinks that I don't appreciate the things he does for me? No, he's faithful. He knows that we're human beings. He designed us, you know. He's gracious and loving, and we should never doubt that he wants to hear what's going on in our hearts, even though he already knows. He wants us to talk to him. You know, our natural reaction to grief might be just like I was talking about in the book, to deny it, to ignore it, to seek to numb it in some way. But when we continue to turn to the Lord in both our joys and our sorrows, mm-hmm. then that shows him that we trust him. Just like I say to people all the time, giving tithes and offerings to the Lord for the Lord's work. A lot of people say, oh, well, I shouldn't have to give money to the Lord. You know, somebody told me he owns all the cattle on all the hills. Well, you don't give him money because you think he's broke. You give him money to take care of the church and to take care of the things in the Christian body that need bills paid and preachers paid and all that sort of thing. Well, the same with grief. If we refuse to go to God in our grief, then we're saying that we don't trust him to be able to help us heal over time. So I think we choose to trust by using lament as a destination. Mm-hmm. It's like a heart the heart that clings to the Lord of his steadfast love. Because after we complain and ask God to intervene, to heal our hearts and to help us return to hope, then he keeps his promises. Mm-hmm. Psalm 31:14, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. And we need to say that in all things all the time.
So for those who are listening who may just be entering this time of loss, where do they begin? And maybe do we tie your book into that? How can your book, picking up your book for somebody who is just either has some old losses, as you yourself did, that have not been reconciled, or somebody who's just entering it for the first time, help us through that with your book.
Well, again, you know, pick up my book. It walks people through the steps. And, you know, the psychology realm of it. Somebody a long time ago figured out what the steps of grief are. But I believe that each person approaches each one of those steps in their own time. I can't stand it when people say, you know, there's, oh, you should be at this or that point of your grieving, or, oh, you're not over that yet. It's been a year. I've been grieving the loss of my son for 47 years. Now, that doesn't mean I sit in a corner and don't get anything done, but it means he pops into my brain every day. My sisters pop into my brain every day. Bob will continue to pop into your brain throughout your lifetime in moments where you would expect it and in moments where you're standing in the middle of a grocery store when you don't expect it. Yeah. I mean, we live in a broken world. That's just all there is to it. Until Jesus comes back, we are surrounded by brokenness, darkness, wars, neglect, gunmen killing people in schools, and, you know, abortions and divorces and, you know, all the things that the world throws out there. If you're looking for healing, then God can offer that healing. He will help you address each issue as it comes through the Holy Spirit, and he will give you all the time that you need. Don't pay attention to what people are saying to you. Nobody knows exactly how you feel. You're allowed to feel however you want, including angry at God. And God will back you up on that. I think without Jesus, where would we be? Oh, I can't even imagine where we would be without Jesus. And I did not always have him in my life. It wasn't until after my cancer diagnosis in 2010 that I had read the Bible 1,000 times because I'm the preacher's wife. But I did not believe God loved me due to things that happened in my childhood. And yes, I've been married 3 times. In my first 2 marriages, the things that had happened led me to believe that, gosh, you know, I'm sure there's a God out there. I don't doubt that. And I've seen miracles my whole life, but I don't think he likes me very much to allow things like that to continue to happen to me. Do you know, it wasn't until I laid my life in his hands and said, I trust you, Lord. And just like Job said, if he slays me, I will still trust him. Once I laid my life in his hands like that, then things started turning around. Mm-hmm. I started feeling him, being in his presence every day, even on bad days. I often tell people that when we're told to be grateful in all things, it doesn't mean we have to be grateful for all things. I'm not grateful at the moment that my bronchitis has kicked up. Right. But I can still thank God that I know he's with me and will walk through whatever comes into my life with me.
You know what I love so much about you? Just your honesty, your candor, your willingness just to put it all out there. I think you're going to bring a lot of people to some realizations that perhaps they didn't have, which I always appreciate you for doing that, for being so clear and honest. I'm wondering if anything surprised you while writing this particular book, anything that surprised you about grief, about God, or about yourself?
I can honestly say that because I've had to discover so many things about myself, for instance, in this last 15 years, since my cancer diagnosis, I don't know that anything surprised me in this particular book. But throughout my getting to know Jesus, oh yeah, thousands of things. You know, I always felt like I wasn't enough. And by the way, I recently wrote a book about enough. I always felt like I wasn't loved, like God didn't care about me. Yep, he's out there, but he just really doesn't care about me in particular. You know, as I said, I've been the pastor's wife for a long time, and I got to the point where I could fake it pretty good. You know, people used to say to me, oh, I love your prayers. Your prayers are so wonderful. My prayers were so fake for such a long time. Because I was the pastor's wife, I got really good at sounding good when I was praying.
Oh.
But I didn't believe most of it. Now, we actually had people come in and do healing sessions with people, and I would see people get healed, but I didn't think it was possible for me. And because I didn't think it was possible for me, nothing happened.
Right.
And throughout this, I've gotten to learn a lot of things that have helped me in my life since I've learned them. Number one, if you're the pastor's wife, don't ever leave out any of the horrible stuff, because people will find it out and then they will throw it in your face.
Oh, my.
And okay. especially if you're the pastor or the pastor's wife, you know, so when our kids would do something goofy, especially as they got older. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever heard stories about pastors' kids or police officers' kids, our son David, who was the pastor's kid, and his best friend Josh, who was the sheriff's kid, used to get in more messes than you can ever imagine. Now, the sheriff used to get his kid off. But we told David, nope, you're going to have to pay the consequences. Yep. And then on Sunday, we would tell everybody what happened.
Oh.
So that when it came out, yes, nobody would. So our kids came to know that if they did something goofy, everyone was going to know. You know, I mean, and as far as my childhood goes, for years, I covered up the sexual, physical, verbal, and emotional abuse that I endured as a kid and in my first couple of marriages, because I thought it was so horrible and evil. I don't want people to know about that. Mm-hmm. I think they'll look at me differently. And then I started doing counseling for women who had been through abuse, and realized how important it was for them to know what, through the Holy Spirit, you can get through. Mm-hmm. Because God is so powerful. Wow. And how important it is to tell those stories on yourself. I always tell people, I'm the first one to tell on myself if I do something dumb, because everybody's going to find out about it anyway.
I love that, the old preemptive strike. It's like, all right, if you kids act up, you're going to, everybody's yep. going to hear about it in church. That's genius. I love that. Oh my gosh. So what are you working on now, my friend? What's next?
At the moment, I'm working on an autobiography, because I've had so many people. I don't think you've read my book enough yet. It's not a real long book, but in my life, as I said, I never felt like I was enough. And I got to thinking, I bet you there are a lot of other people who feel the same way. So I wrote that book, and I've had so much positive feedback about that book, because evidently there are a lot of folks out there who never thought they were enough, not good enough, not pretty enough, not smart enough, not good enough at their job, you know, not loved enough. And so after writing that book, I had people saying to me, you always put these little snippets, little bits and pieces of your childhood and your first two marriages in your books, and things that you've gone through since you and Marty got married. And we would like to know about your life, you know, and it's like, you're not afraid to talk about it anymore. So will you write your autobiography so we can read it? That's what I'm working on right now. I still have on the back burner the other book that I've been working on for 100 years, ever since before I was in the hospital from COVID. And someday I will finish that, because it's going to be a good book. And I, you know, it's just been one thing after another why it didn't get finished. I kind of got stopped in my tracks because I couldn't type or use my hands for a while after that COVID hospital stay. So that had gone on the back burner. That book is the first book in the series, is Faith in the Fire, Embers of Calling. The second book will be Faith in the Fire, Tending the Flame. And the third book will be Faith in the Fire, Fire on the Mountain. When that series comes out. But for now, I think I need to do this autobiography because I've had so many people ask me to do it.
Yep. You've got to please your fans.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, as we begin to wrap up, is there anything we missed that you wanted to highlight or a final something to share?
Well, I would encourage people, if they're going through any type of grief in their life, to get walking through the valley. I think it would help you through. But I have also put out a series of devotionals, women's, men's, and then ones to keep in your pocket and, you know, just for anybody and all of that. And if you go on Amazon, or go to my website, DonnaMYoungWriting.com. You can find all of my books there and pick up some of my devotionals and stuff. I understand they're very good. I've had a lot of people tell me that they help them get through their days. So most of my devotionals have areas to write in where you can put down things that are on your mind and things to look forward to, things to thank the Lord for, and that sort of thing. But mostly just meaningful daily or weekly devotions and prayers and scripture to go along with it.
Absolutely. You've got quite a collection of books that you have written, and all of them will be of a great resource to those. So I hope everyone heads over to your website, DonnaMYoungWriting.com. The book we're talking about today is Walking Through the Valley. And I just thank you, Donna, always for showing up and sharing your heart and your wisdom. And your book is such a gentle reminder that none of us are alone in our grief and that God's presence offers comfort even in the hardest moments. So I ask for anyone walking through loss right now, I encourage you to pick up this book and all of Donna's books. It may be the companion you need for the road ahead. And Donna, I am always so grateful for your friendship, your honesty, your hope, and your faith. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I always enjoy so much talking with you. And I want to be there for you, because what you're going through right now is very difficult. God bless you, Pat. I love you so much. And I will think about you and pray for you every day.
Thank you, Donna.